I've put mine aside for now.
You're drinking a Red Bull at almost 10 o'clock?
I'm sipping.
That's a terrible
idea. If I drink an energy drink at any time during the day, it means I'm not going to sleep that night.
Exactly. I'll counteract it with, like, more than the recommended amount of melatonin this evening. It'll be fine.
I thought you were going to say, like, NyQuil. A bunch of booze.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, speaking of counteracting Red Bull with booze, like, I don't understand people that do, like, a vodka Red Bull.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, I guess you're just lowering inhibitions while also making yourself still awake.
Because you just really love the face of... What happened to it? What's wrong with it?
Yeah, Rick came in here to poach stuff from the podcast set for his office.
I did not.
And he fucked up our audio setup in the meantime.
I don't think I did. I don't remember touching any. Well, maybe
his
I did.
His chair is completely different.
Maybe I did move his mic out of the way to...
Mine fell and broke, and I'm blaming you.
See, that's just your fault.
No, I'm blaming you coming in... unscrewing it for your at-home office.
That's what I have to say about that.
Incredibly aggravating.
What's that? Me burping or?
Yes, yeah. You're belching into my ear.
Well, if it makes you feel better, it kind of stinks now.
Stinky.
I rebounded on that one. It was a bad idea.
In the words of Billy Joel, and the microphone smells like a beer.
And the microphone smells like a beer.
Is that Piano Man?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, is that an actual thing?
Yeah, yes. That is a... exact lyric from that song.
Oh, okay.
Like, maybe when I was 29 to 30 was when I figured out that wasn't Elton John, because he's the Piano Man. Like, you can't make a song called The Piano Man and not be fucking Elton John.
He is also
a very good Piano Man.
No, I was just going to say, you can do it while fucking Elton John, I'm sure.
Also, yeah. Piano Man is one of those songs where, like, when I'm singing along to it in the car, it goes like, and then, like, the chorus comes along, and,
right?
Oh, sing us a song, like,
yeah.
You know, I always really like the Robot Chicken gag where it's like the whole time the song is just about him being an asshole to everyone else in the bar. Like, Bob is a real estate novelist. That's a nice way of saying Bob's bro.
Just taking turns roasting everybody.
Rude.
All right. Well, we are back. We have just finished seeing a movie, and I'm excited to talk about it. Hi, my
name is... first impression so hard.
That's right. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I'm a chubby wubby dwagon.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I don't have a personality.
I mean, that case.
Way to out yourself, dude.
Come on. I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I'm not really sure what a real estate novelist is.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I'm an orb of invulnerability.
And we're opinionated.
Tonight we saw Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves came out in 2023. It currently has a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Did that line come up?
What? Honor Among Thieves?
Honor Among Thieves?
That was in the last one.
It was, but it didn't actually come up in this one.
Yeah, no, then don't...
It's more applicable in this one. Let me finish my spiel. It came out in 2023, has a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
It was written by Jonathan Goldstein and Francis Daly and Michael Gillio, and directed by all those guys except for Michael Gillio. And it stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith, Hugh Grant, and many others.
A charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people.
That's better than the IMDb description for the old D&D
movie.
No,
because that one was about the interesting character in that movie.
Listen.
If this one was a good one, it would be like, a red Thayan wizard is thwarted by a bunch of dumbasses.
Boy, you sound like you could write for IMDb. Listen, I'm just a refresher for folks who might not know. This is a first impressions episode. That means that unlike our regular episodes, the first part of this is going to be spoiler free. It's going to be about 5-10 minutes where we just talk about what we thought going in, the general feel of the movie and whether we'd recommend it or not. After that, there's going to be a brief break and then we'll come back and get into all the nitty gritty details and spoil everything up. But we're going to warn you before we get there in case you still want to see the movie spoiler free.
Can I mix it up and start with my least favorite thing? Not a spoiler.
Not a spoiler. Okay, what was your least favorite thing? Not a spoiler.
The fucking cast, like, at the beginning of the movie, like, thanks for being real heroes and coming to see movies the way they meant to be.
Oh, gosh, so cringe.
And you can tell that, like, none of the cast are into it. It's just something that's, like, written into their contract.
Like, yeah. Even if they're dead, like, they're...
Thank you for
I'm
being
sure they
the...
make more money when people go to see the movie in
of
the
course.
Theaters. And that they care... But they don't want to die on that fucking hill.
Because... And the way they say it, too, is it's not just, like, hey, our paychecks depend on you, so thanks for seeing the movie in theaters. They have to be all smarmy about it, because it's like, we might be the heroes of the movie, but the real heroes are you, because you go see movie in theater.
Right, which is a nice way of saying that,
oh, shut the fuck up.
We're so grateful that you spent $15 to watch this when you could have been streaming it from home, except for we're so greedy.
And the worst part, too, is that they're sitting there, and, like, that's the same kind of sitting there, the whole cast in their chairs facing, this, like, looking directly at the camera.
Right.
Like, it easily could have been, you know, we're the heroes of this movie, but you're the real heroes.
For not doing drugs.
For donating to St. Jude Children's Hospital. And I would have been like, you know what? That's fine. Yes. Use the you're the real heroes line for something that matters.
Because
like,
you're seeing this in theaters.
From cancer.
We're going to give $1 from every ticket.
Because you spent $15 on popcorn here.
Honestly, I made a joke at the time about, like, you'd think that actors would be able to, like, act their way into pretending to be enthusiastic about that spiel. But then I saw the rest of the movie and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe not.
Their acting's fine.
It's not good.
Some of them is better than others.
The writing is a problem, but their acting
the writing is the real problem.
Like, the only time... Well, that's I guess that's a fucking spoiler, so...
No, okay. I mean,
if they saw it as a paycheck and they were kind of phoning it in, can you really blame them?
No. No, I cannot, because there's nothing you could do with this material to make it good.
Starting to talk about the movie. I didn't know... I didn't have any expectations going in. I've seen the previous D&D movies, and they're all so...
You've seen all of them?
How many are there?
There's only
three.
Two.
I think there's a third one.
There are three.
I've seen them, and like they're so bad. So we recently reviewed the first D&D movie for the Patreon. Definitely go check that out if you're interested. And that movie's so bad that when we started the recording, it had a 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. And by the time we were done with the recording, not a joke, by the time we were done with the recording, it had dropped to a 9.
Somehow, even though that movie's like 30 years old.
Yeah,
it's like people have a reason to see the old one now that a new one's coming out.
Right, and apparently what they've decided is that, oh yeah, it's even worse than I remembered.
Yeah.
those old movies, real bad. And so, but at the same time, I'd heard a lot of people talking about having gone to see this new one, D&D Honor Among Thieves.
Yeah.
And it had received praise from both people who were fans of D&D and avid players, and it had received praise from people who didn't really know anything about the IP. And so I'm like,
question, where were you seeing that? Because I was not seeing those. I saw some people who were giving it praise. I mostly saw people who were not giving it a lot of positive attention.
Derek liked it.
No, I talked
but
to Derek.
Derek's also
Derek
a D&D
agreed
guy.
With me that it was mid as hell.
Oh, yeah, but he liked it.
He put it on the positive end of mid.
Yeah.
Positive end of mid is
it's still
fine.
Positive.
Like that, yeah, compare it to the other gutter trash that came before it.
But still, these people are biased to you. Like, I myself have heard from people who play in D&D that it's also applicable to people that don't play D&D. They are already biased to begin with.
I feel like those people were lying to you.
Listen, all I'm saying is I had very, very non-existent expectations coming to see it. And I think seeing this movie in theaters reminded me of seeing another movie in theaters. And I wanted to piece together why I was drawing a connection between the two on the ride from the theater back here to record the podcast.
Sure.
Because the movie that it reminded me of seeing in theaters was The Force Awakens.
Okay.
And I think it's because... Overall, what this movie is trying to do is to reintroduce an established IP to a wide
audience.
It's trying to establish this and do so in a way where it also doesn't piss off the large group of hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm. Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Well,
but
Marvel
also
did a pretty good job.
And I think what I landed on is this movie is fairly mid. There's a lot of stuff I liked about it. There's a lot of stuff that was like, it's kind of mediocre. Mm. But what it felt overall was safe. There are so many story elements in the movie that you've seen in hundreds of other movies.
There was nothing unpredictable about this movie.
The hero of the movie has to decide between sacrificing what he wants and saving the day. What do you think he's going to do? How is he going to solve this conundrum?
He takes what he wants and gets a new group.
Incorrect. He sacrifices the thing he wants and saves the day. And that's just because that's the way that this story arc goes in about 100 different movies you've already seen. And so a lot of the decisions in the movie feel very safe.
Yes.
And they feel, but they it does a good enough job of introducing this to a new audience, I think.
The problem is that it is also trying to do the Guardians of the Galaxy thing of having a wacky troop of subversive in the sense of like, this is not the typical hero group. Mm-hmm. They're trying to have that wacky group of subversive heroes where they don't have like the traditional, they're super awesome hero guys. They're just kind of goofballs that are doing their own thing and they muddle their way through. But the problem is that isn't really subversive in any interesting way at this point, and they don't do anything to bring these characters together. The thing that I really didn't enjoy about this movie, and the thing that really brought it down for me, is that by the end of the movie, I feel like you're going to do a movie that should feel like a D&D series of sessions, essentially. By the end of the movie, I should feel like these people are a group of friends that are hanging out together and having fun on some level. Like, even if the adventure is scary and all that, I should feel like the camaraderie that I feel around a D&D table to some degree. And I don't. These characters never get to be a group.
I think you get that. I think some of the characters feel connected, and I think some of the other characters don't. And the characters that specifically, in my mind, the two characters that don't feel as connected as the others are the ones that I think give a weaker acting performance.
Yes. I think I know who you're talking about.
And I feel like it's also hampered.
But that's not a spoiler,
but
though, right?
No. I mean, I think that Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez's characters are the ones that you're saying are the ones that are connected. And I don't necessarily disagree, but I also feel
it's
like
really
these two could leave at any moment each other, and they would neither of them feel that bad about it. The only thing that is connecting them is the relationship they have with his daughter.
I disagree. I think the movie establishes some camaraderie between them.
I think the movie talks about some camaraderie between them. I think it shows it as well.
Yeah.
Very little.
I don't think that they show it. I think the movie tries to show it. Like,
I don't think it actually makes me feel it.
And I started by talking about my expectations, and I want to talk about yours, because it seems like because this is a mid-movie, but we've seen plenty of mid-movies where it's like, oh, that was entertaining and good enough. Mm. But you seem particularly bothered by some elements in this movie where it seems like you had higher expectations going in, because we've seen stuff that
slightly
feels
higher
on the same tier as this, and you haven't been as bothered. So what's going on here?
I want to like this movie. Like, D&D is one of my favorite things. Fantasy films are something that I have always wanted to have. Like, one thing I do love about this movie is that the magic looks great, the creatures look great, all the special effects and all that. This world, it doesn't feel real, but it looks amazing. Yeah. Like, it looks like it would be a fun...
They don't look like Shiggy Ring Fair outfits.
Exactly, yeah. But that's such low-hanging fruit
these days.
It is,
because in a lot of... Normally, you get fantasy garb that's all fucking fire and ice. What's the name of that series?
Oh,
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's all really dark and grungy. Like, you never get the really colorful fantasy stuff that you want. Otherwise, it just looks like it's like plastic and Shiggy, like the newest Thor movie. Like, whenever he gets his new Thor armor, like, that's fucking plastic,
well,
dog.
And I want to come back to what you were saying, Rick, because I am interested in hearing. Just to interject, that was one of the other things that I came away from this was... It's been a while since I've felt like there was fun fantasy out there.
Yes.
Like,
I do agree with that.
Fun fantasy. Yeah. Because although Game of Thrones hits that button to some extent, the fun is definitely outweighed by the episode. Well, there's fun in it, but it's also equally outweighed by, like, hey, here's all this shitty stuff.
There's only so much, like, fun incest can give you before all the shitty stuff weighs it down.
Right, yeah.
Gosh. That's what I keep telling my siblings.
Yeah, I thought like from the first episode of Game of Thrones, they'd really be hitting harder with the incest vibe, but they were not delivering on that by the end.
Gosh, you wanted
more incest.
Yeah.
I am not
surprised.
Feel
like for the amount of incest that that series had, it did not have enough potato babies. But
jeez, all that to say that this movie felt very fun, and I liked how colorful and vibrant it was. Yes. There were a lot of really just pretty vistas that the characters would travel.
Yeah, the production value, the set design, the costumes, all of that looked great.
You wanting fantasy, especially as D&D is like one of your biggest hobbies.
I am a fantasy writer. That is the thing.
thing that I do in my spare time and pour money and time into that I don't have.
Sure.
So, like, I really want fantasy to be awesome and be fun. And this isn't fun to me because so much of it is what you said. It's predictable. It just doesn't have any emotional heart
to it.
How
is
none of it comes together.
D&D campaign not in some ways predictable?
It's not necessarily that. It's that I don't feel the feelings that I get around a D&D table of this is a fun adventure. What this feels like to me is being told about someone else's D&D adventure, and they're not a very good storyteller, so it's not a good story. And at the end of it, they kind of end it with, well, man, you just had to be there. Like, that's the sense I come away from this feeling. And I don't like that. I want to enjoy it more than I do.
Okay. It sounds like you invested some emotion into this, just wanting it to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
And that's understandable.
Sure.
I think we're going to disagree about the relative quality of some things in the movie because you've got an unintentional emotional stake in how good the movie can
I think it's
out.
That. And it's also just, I don't really love the tone of the movie. Like, it's trying to do the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, like I said, and I'm sick of that. Like, I just like things to just be cool for the sake of being cool. I don't need you to be, like, ironically cool, or, like, I don't need the characters to be, like, incompetent versions of themselves. I'd like to just see, like, fun people doing stuff well for once.
Well, and I don't know, because I feel like you can have both in a movie and it work well. Because
you can,
if our characters weren't incompetent to some extent, then it wouldn't feel then it would feel disingenuous to the experience of playing D&D, right?
Like, I mean, they
it'd be like a party of paladins, and everyone's like, "Of course, none of us would steal. Of course, let's keep going on the main story and not hang out with this barkeep for 3 hours.
Side quests, no, thank you.
Nope, straight line.
You said that this guy is the villain. We are going to go fight him. I want nothing to do with these other things."
And a certain degree of incompetence of the characters is representative of the experience of playing D&D, where there's sometimes you really want something to go your way, and then you roll a natural one.
Yeah.
No, that's right. A shitty experience.
The other thing I would say is that I agree that I wanted more of the feeling of camaraderie between the characters. Going back to what I said earlier, I think part of that is just tied to some of the actors. Justice Smith specifically is just an actor that I don't enjoy. I've seen him in several movies. He's the wizard who's trying to get better.
Okay.
I remember him. I just don't know what
I have seen him in several other movies. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Was he a robot or not a robot, but iRobot or something?
Wasn't he in like one of the Jurassic Park movies or something?
I did not recognize him.
He seems like a guy who probably has an extensive career in television.
No, it's been in movies that I've seen him, but I've never thought he was a good actor, and I'm not trying to like drag the guy, but I just don't enjoy his performances. And in this, he doesn't seem to just click with the other characters.
When Chris hears Pine, this podcast, he's going to be hurt.
Right. Chris Pine seems like a charismatic dude.
Chris Pine in other stuff, I have loved him in. Like him in Star Trek, I don't even love those movies, but I love him as Captain Kirk. He has exactly the type of vibe that this character needs, but the writing holds everyone back in this movie. None of these character parts are good.
He did good in Wonder Woman, too.
Yeah, none of them are interesting, and I put this in the same category that I put the Star Wars prequels of. I'm not giving anyone any crap about their acting performance because everyone sucks in this. They are all either trying, but it's not good enough material.
I thought the villain was good.
She's cool because she's creepy.
Hugh Grant is classic Hugh Grant, and he feels like he's got a little bit of this hand. I won't say an equal amount, but he feels like he's got a similar kind of ham to the villain from the old one. Jeremy Irons.
In terms of scene chewing, sure, I'll give you that. I have none of the love that I have for that character. And maybe it's just that I saw Dungeons & Dragons when I was a formative age, and so sure, I really like that goofy-ass, crazy, over-the-top wizard that Jeremy Irons played. But, like, this movie doesn't need two con men in it, and that's basically what our main character is. So, like, and these two don't feel like they're being paired against each other in a meaningful way to, like, contrast each other. And so I agree that Hugh Grant is giving a performance and it is more effective than some of the performances in this movie. I still don't give a shit about him, and I don't really want to see him like lose at the end of the movie just because I just don't care. Like,
okay.
And that's what it comes down to. I don't care.
I have a guess at what your recommendation might be, but I'd like us to get to the part where we can start talking about stuff that's happening in the story. Mm-hmm. So
we've got a good while without
Without talking about spoilers.
This is longer than we normally
do. Yeah, good job, us.
I think that might be what happens when you get a bunch of D&D nerds around to talk about the D&D movie.
I think it might be what happens when, like, it's not really important what happens.
Hold your recommendation for your turn. I think that folks will enjoy this movie. I think that, although it's nothing groundbreaking, but I think it's fun. I think it's pretty. I enjoyed the humor in it. And I think that overall, whether you're a fan of D&D or not, I think that you'll have a pretty decent time with it. I don't think it's like mind-blowing, but like I said, I get the same feel that I had from Force Awakens. And a lot of people have strong feelings about Force Awakens because of the movies that came after it as well, and even because of the movie itself.
Which one was Force Awakens?
The first one of the new
Okay, that one's all right.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's fine.
Exactly, and that's what I think. Yeah. I think the D&D movie's not great, but it's fine, and it's fun enough, and I like fantasy, and so getting some fantasy that's good enough and looks pretty and is fun is better than nothing, and I would like to see them continue. I would like Wizards of the Coast to make more D&D movies and make them better and better, and that's what I hope happens, and so I hope that that cascades off of this one, so go see it.
Yeah, I can kind of go along with that. I mean, as much as I had issues with this movie, I don't know that everyone would have my issues with this movie. I think that, you know, it is definitely worth checking out when it comes to streaming. Like, just give it a watch, see if it's for you, and it very well might be. I think it's mid as hell. And I mean that very specifically in that it's just, it's not great. It's not awful, but it is not something I feel any need to return to. I'm not mad that I saw it, but I just don't really, it's not for me at the end of the day. And I feel like I am pretty much the target audience for fantasy shit. So if it's not for me, maybe it won't hit for you, but it might. It might, because it is pretty. It is, there's a lot of cool stuff in here. There's a lot of fun scenes in here. And if that's all you're wanting, go for it. But if you want good characters or a good story,
I'll also say that if you've ever thought, man, those Star Wars nerds really get way too butthurt about Star Wars,
I mean,
then you might also feel like taking like our opinions with a little grain of salt.
I was gonna say, like, you heard me on those podcasts. I was more than a little butthurt on some of those. So,
sure.
Brian,
do you think people should see this movie in theaters?
I'm just trying to think how butthurt I am. I'm not really butthurt by this. Like,
no.
It's usage. It wasn't like a Law and Order episode. Like, man, I just got the new DLC for WoW. That shit is slapping you.
Thanks, Ice Cube.
Yeah, I feel like they actually like kind of know what they're talking about. Like, except for how many times Wild Shape was used in consecutive. Like, I don't know what level these guys are. I don't know what D&D is doing now. Sure. She can use that a lot.
The druid was a one-trick pony.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good trick.
It's a good trick.
Yeah, but they could also fucking call lightning.
Well, it depends on your time. Nowadays, druids are like
broken as hell.
Well, no, they're like other casters, to where, like, if you don't want to be the druid that casts healing and lightning and root stuff, and you just want to be the animal one, or you just want to be the...
Gotcha.
Well, at the same time, you can only get so meta with your movie before it gets boring as shit, where it's
that's very true.
Okay, we did this stuff, short rest time. Okay, we did this much, short rest
time. I would
have liked
one short rest.
They had a few short rests.
Well, I want them to be like, hey, I'm out of spell slots. I need a short rest.
that's what I'm talking about. You start talking about spell slots, and it's like,
I mean, they're dropping a lot of terminology. They're like, they're using the word wild shape a lot. Like, the red wizard. Oh, no, that's a spoiler. Anyway.
Nah, people know there's a red wizard in it.
I mean, the thing I was going to say was a spoiler.
All right, well, then let's hurry up to our recommendation. Should people see it or not, Brian?
I think I'm in the same boat as you.
Okay.
It's all right. It's fun. I think kids will like it more than adults, but it's fine.
Sure. All right.
Well, you talk about kids is convenient, because as I was thinking about this, I think this would be a good movie to like take your teenage kids to.
Yeah. I wish this had been the one I saw as a kid at Rick's house. This would have fucking slapped.
I'd go with that. Yes. Yeah.
And that perhaps demonstrates that this is a pretty safe movie and what it is that they chose to do with the material. I think that I was able to see my own D&D experiences and how the characters worked their way through situations, and how you have to have like a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D, and still that gets fucked up and you have to improvise on the spot. That is the experience of playing Dungeons and Dragons, is you have like essentially the quote, you have a plan and it goes tits up.
Yeah. There are plenty of moments where, like, that bullshit shouldn't have worked, but the DM thought it was cool, so it worked anyway. Like, there were some moments of that in this movie.
You don't have to look at me while you say that.
So, being someone with a vested interest, I think that they honestly could have done a lot worse. I still wouldn't recommend that you necessarily, like, if you are a D&D nerd or you want to have a family night out, this would be a good film to see in theaters. But if you're just someone who's, like, looking for a good fantasy movie, you should just watch this on the couch at home. This isn't worth spending $15, $20, $30 on.
What is a good fantasy movie?
Lord of the Rings.
Dragonheart.
Don't talk about it. We've done Lord of the Rings.
Dragonheart.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Depends on how wide of a net you want to cast with the word fantasy.
Yeah,
that's also true. I mean,
traditional fantasy, I would say then.
For a long time, I think just fantasy was not possible to make well. Like, we just didn't have the technology yet.
That's fair. Listen, if you want to hear us talk more about other D&D stuff, we've got some tabletop role-playing game episodes. We also have a Patreon exclusive episode where we talk about the very first D&D movie, and you can find all that and more on our Patreon, patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you get all sorts of bonus content like the stuff I just talked about and early access to our episodes, so definitely go check that out. Additionally, we've launched our Discord, so if you feel like coming and hanging out with us and some of our other fans, you can do that. We've got the link in our description as well as in our Twitter bio, so definitely go check that out. We'll be back in just a second to talk about all our spoiler-filled thoughts on D&D Honor Among Thieves.
Here's the thing. We're a team of thieves. And when you do this, you're bound to make enemies. Sometimes those enemies come looking for revenge.
All right, Red Wizard was really cool. Like, I've been pretty negative so far, sure. And I want to open up with something that I really enjoyed. She is genuinely extremely creepy consistently,
is
and
that
I love it.
Wednesday Adams?
No. I don't know. That's no, not, it's not Jenna Ortega. Her chin is wrong for that. Like, she's got a weird pointy chin.
I haven't watched Wednesday. I saw that they both had tiny bodies and dark eyes. So I was like, that's probably the same.
They have the big eyes.
Yeah. I thought it might have been Eva Green, but she's probably a bit old for the way that character looked.
Yeah, that's fair.
For that.
I just really enjoyed her. Like, every time she was on screen, she was genuinely, like, menacing and creepy. Mm-hmm. And I liked that she didn't feel human at a lot of points.
Yeah.
Like, she really felt like she was something else or something out there, or maybe just like someone who was really messed up by the weird magic they were in.
And I loved, like, the ritual that they used the special effects for. Granted, it's the special effects, but, like, the way that they built that out was really kind of terrifying.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And you spoke of the special effects, and we've all kind of commented that the magic in it and a lot of, like, the design and the way that they've done these special effects looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the number of practical effects they included as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was with some of the different creatures.
Like the Dragonborn?
Dragonborn of the Arakaka, and like there's a weird fish thing at one point, and some cat people, and there's it's just sprinkled through. And again, it brings me back to thinking about Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
And it feels like it got close to that same kind of fun as like when you're going through the Tatooine Cantina the first time, but not quite, because it feels like there weren't enough just like, hey, here's some weird random shit in the background.
Yeah,
like everything that was weird was a reference, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, we're going through this alleyway and you see two rust monsters like scuttling over a piece of scrap in the background.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And it's like, sure.
Yeah.
But also you can give us some like, hey, there's just weird stuff happening because this is fantasy world.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, not everything has to be like an immediately recognizable, oh, I get that. I know what that is.
Right. Right. Yeah. And they were obviously dwelling on things as the camera was panning to be like, hey, you see this reference? You get it?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, and I don't hate that they put the references in there. Like, that's fine. I enjoy some of
I like Easter eggs in my movie.
Yeah.
But like, when I feel like they're trying to shove the Easter egg in my face.
Yeah,
it's not
I don't
really
like
an Easter
when it's a
egg
checklist.
Anymore. It's just like you're pandering at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think there was some pandering. It's just more tasteful than others.
What do you guys think of the way that the movie opens, where we see Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez? So, and Chris Pine's a bard, Michelle Rodriguez is a barbarian, and they're in prison, kind of, they do here's our backstory that's setting up the movie as like the way that's delivered is they're telling their story before the... He's telling the story before the judge to try and get released from prison kind of thing.
It's fucking terrible. Like, it's really bad because you've seen all this shit before. It's not done in a way that, like, actually makes you feel anything about his backstory. It's not necessary. You could just skip to the part where it's cool, where they throw a guy out the window to fly away on him because he's a giant bird. That part is really cool. But all the stuff of just, like, this is my backstory about the wife. You can tell she's going to die from the moment I start talking. It's going to be bad. And then, oh, she died just like I thought. And now it's real sad.
There was set up for a joke that I wish they'd made, mm-hmm. where he's telling the story and he keeps making this, he keeps pausing the story to be like, hey, do you know where Jonathan is?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cause it's this bird dude.
Yeah.
And the joke is everyone thinks that, or at least I interpreted it as like, oh, this is like either they know this guy or they know
or he's the bleeding heart.
Yeah. He's a very lenient judge who's going to grant them their parole or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And the joke later on ends up being, no, he's just a bird person. So they like smash through a window and fly
use
away.
Use him as a hang glider. I was really hoping on the way down, he'd be like, I'm not that kind of bird.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping too.
And so that's a funny joke, but
yes,
as he's telling this story, he keeps interrupting to ask where this particular judge is, mm-hmm. and at one point he like rewinds his story to start telling it at a spot he'd previously done.
You're
and the joke I was waiting for was for it to be different. That
he's clearly bullshitting.
Like maybe the stuff about his wife being dead was true, but he's just ad-libbing this as he goes because he's trying to buy time,
right?
And they didn't like. I thought it was funny. Haha. He, you know, it's we've seen it before sometimes, but it was still funny that they had to interrupt and
that
go,
part.
Fast forward your story.
That part was funny. Like I like that
I
was a genuinely
done
solid
more
joke.
With it, though.
I think they could have done so much
scene.
Less.
Yes,
it was like, a very long scene.
Skip all of that shit. I don't care. Like you, the one of the issues is that at the end of this movie, he is going to have to choose between bringing back the character that we have a relationship as the audience because we've been hanging
and
out with him for the last 2 hours,
a relationship
and his daughter
with.
Is like this is the actual mom his daughter knows because she was a baby and all this bullshit.
There's even at one point a paladin character who is with them for part of the film and he even says that like, are you sure you want to resurrect her? Because wherever she is right now, she's living her next life and you're just going to yoink her out of that.
I really hated how hard they were shoving it down our throat that like, hey, you really shouldn't bring this person back. Like he's having the memories of her. Like you got to let me go, dog.
You need to do the exact fucking opposite of that. Yes. You need to give us every reason to make him want to bring her back.
That's
not
why
every excuse
hurt
not to.
When he
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We haven't seen this character, but in a couple of flashbacks, she
and
gets
all
like
ever
three
doing is
lines.
Just smiling.
She's just smiling happily.
She is an NPC.
She is the definition of the backstory dead wife. Like that is just you all know who that character is. You've seen it a dozen times.
I mean, you're right.
And no one has an emotional attachment to that shit. It is impossible to.
Her fucking daughter doesn't
give a shit about her. Like that's how. That is to me the problem with this movie is that they cannot establish an emotional connection with a single fucking one of these characters. I don't give a shit about any of them.
I feel like you let the sour taste in your mouth carry a little further than it should.
Yeah.
Because there's some of the other characters. Like, as much as I dislike Justice Smith as an actor, I don't hate his character.
I am so sick of incompetent wizards. I know magic is a cool tool, and if you don't like limit it somehow, it's hard to make a movie around that. Fucking find a better way than making the person an idiot or a sad sack or someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Just give me a cool ass wizard.
What should be the reason that the wizard is, or the sorcerer in this case,
mm-hmm.
for all the nerds listening.
Actually,
he used wild magic. What should be the reason that he is not able to just, and I mean, this is a joke that's in the movie too, which I enjoyed, is just like magic their way out of everything, right?
That's you just do what they do in the movie, just play it straight of you can't do that. I don't know how to do that magic. That's all you got to do. You're done. The whole thing.
That's what he said. The only other thing was that
he
also
is a
was not
worthless
confident.
Sad sack the
He's
entire
not a
movie.
Worthless sad sack.
Yes,
he
that
does.
Is literally what he thinks of himself
no,
the
he
entire
gets
movie
the gun
up until the moment.
He just doesn't have a lot of confidence.
Someone else hands him a stick and he's like, "Oh,
no,
this thing
someone
fixes
else
our problem."
Have it. He sees it, recognizes it, uses
he
his
makes the perception
check.
No, someone else
They're
does
not
have
gonna
it.
Know what
the barbarian literally fixes it up
and says, "Hey, I know what that is.
You know what literally any other character could do? Hey, you know what bards are entirely known for doing? Pointing at random shit and being like, oh, I know what this is, which is not what the bard does in this movie, so, which is very confusing to me.
He's
like,
he's a multi-class.
He's basically a thief that plays a lute. Let's be real here. He's not a bard.
And he wears too much armor to be a thief.
He wears too much armor to be a bard.
I mean, there are casters in full plate. I'm sure there can be fucking full plate thieves.
If there's a sequel, he is a bard. His daughter is going to be the rogue.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
She's got the little invisibility.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, she's going to be the thief.
Well, I'll say this about the wizard character is that having played D&D, my expectation is that you got the high int and you got the low wisdom. So you're going to be after power and you're going to be controlled by it at some point.
Sure.
And it's going to cause a catastrophe.
Wait, sorcerers are charisma.
He's a shitty sorcerer. Yeah. He's not very charismatic.
I perceived him as being more of a wizard character because he's actually, he is a sorcerer.
I mean,
in terms of like how he's played, he's definitely a wizard character.
Yeah, he's not really playing like a wizard.
Exactly, which is another problem.
He didn't understand it when he was building the character and he made the wrong stats stats.
Because charisma,
he made charisma his dump stat.
Have you never played with those people who purposefully shig on their stats to make a beggar character? Because you can't make a mid-max character with good depth, apparently.
Every character should be min-max.
Yeah. Exactly, yes.
That is how I play my game.
You got to play the min part and not just gloss over the fact that, like, you've got an 8 in this, you actually suck at it.
Right,
role
min-max,
play
but play a full character.
Exactly,
right?
The roles can decide when you're shiggy.
Anywhere. If you got low charisma, deal with it.
I never like the characters that are like, I'm not good at this thing that I do, and it's the only thing that I do, and I'm sad about it, and it's such a dull character aspect. And so when he finally gets over it and is like, and punches his like dream grandfather turns out to be himself, I don't believe that shit. And I don't know why he like suddenly is like, oh, you punched me, I guess that's all you had to do. I guess the hundreds of times you tried before, you just cried in the corner the entire time. And I don't like that guy.
Did that helmet have a one-use thing? Is there a reason?
I guess.
I
don't know.
Did he use it more than like once?
No. He used the MacGuffin once, and then it's like, oh,
he used it and then he went into the vault. He didn't toss it. He got knocked out at that point.
It shows him holding it at some point later.
I guess.
I think he got knocked out.
Either way, they get all of their shit again later, so like, why didn't he pick that back up? You know what would be really good if you're going up against a super powerful magic user? The fucking helmet that turns off all the magic.
That's also something weird. It didn't turn off their walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You think if it turned off a seal, it would also turn off, like, communication.
Unless, like, it only does arcane and those walkie-talkies are, like, something he got from a cleric.
I don't need to establish that.
What I'm gathering is that we're not rules lawyers enough to be able to answer that particular detail.
I didn't hate it. I see why you hate him, and those characters often do get very played out, but I think that his was not the worst version of that character that I've seen, and I think he did
Who's your least favorite wimpy character?
Oh, fuck, I'd have to think about it, because I don't keep those in my mind.
I just assume you had a Rolodex of them. Like, fucking Shinji from Evangelion or something.
Shinji suck. Right now, this guy is my least favorite, but he's the only one I can remember. I'll think about it. If I can come up with a better, like, my least favorite example of this, I'll let you know. I don't like him. I wish the druid had, like, any sense of personality
any kind of
at
character?
All. Yeah, she just
well,
like
maybe
at the
it's
beginning.
Your first campaign and you know how
well,
it is
right.
your
we
first
get all
one,
the personality
like
when she's introduced.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a druid. I am like a bit of an outsider, but I'm also playing this race which is not exactly human.
Pull out your
I've got my little antlers and
but
a little
no one
tail.
Gets that shit. Like you're half
pull
demon.
Out your phones right now and Google Tiefling.
Tiefling?
Or tiefling, okay. However you want to say it. Just and look up images of it. Yeah, I want you guys
are you trying to tell us how long it'll be till we find porn? Or
no, just give me a quick.
They are
your
not auburn-haired, freckled
like
women.
Right.
Yeah, they're all like
purple.
Some special color.
I'm purple tiefling.
And they look like some kind of almost, they're pretty demons. And
You know what it would be? It would be like finding a flesh-colored Yoshi.
No, wait, you know what it is, though?
If she
like,
were a half
the Yoshis
human,
are primary colors.
No, here's the
thing. And the tieflings should be as well.
Here's the fucked up thing. She's a demon. That's why she's a ginger.
You're stretching for that one.
I am, yes.
That's played out. Like, nah, you leave that joke back in middle school where
it
came
like
from.
Yeah, that's like 20 years old top.
But my point is that, like, okay, she's on a crusade for her people that do not actually matter for the story of
not
the
even
film.
Her people.
And she's also a tiefling.
Yeah.
So her introduction is the end of her character being interesting for the entirety of the
show. She has a whole thing, though.
This is how bad it is. At the beginning of her thing, she's like, I hate humans. And then it never once comes up again until the very end of the movie where one character says, didn't you say you hate humans? And she's like, eh.
Oh, yeah, I guess I was kind of fucking with you.
Like, I'm okay with them downplaying these some characters are racist against other people.
Not if
people,
that's your only interesting character aspect.
And make a different interesting
Fine,
character
do
aspect.
That. I don't care. Like, just do something interesting
As
with this character.
I genetically get unlimited uses of wild shape.
Oh, that's a really good racial trait. That is a really good racial trait.
Everybody should be
when she's doing the wild shape shit, that's the coolest shit she does. Like, her whole scene where she's escaping the thing as a series of animals, I really like that. Yeah. Like, maybe it's just that I saw The Sorcerer's Apprentice when I was really young, and I always liked shapeshifters. But, like, that's just a cool fight. Like, that was fun. Like,
also, you can't do that in D&D, though, right? You can't just, like, bounce in between shapes.
Well,
10 times in a row.
I was going to say, you can't do it 10 times unless they're already fucking like level 18. I haven't played Dungeons and Dragons in a while, so
maybe 5.E is
you just fucking, you're whatever you want to be when you need
it.
I still think it's like level 20 that you can do that.
But again, you start introducing that level of like, oh, we're following the canonical rules of D&D into your fun action movie, and boy, you just instantly turn it into a slog. I don't care.
I want to
see her turn from a worm into a deer into an owlbear.
I don't care if she hasn't
had a short rest in between.
I want to see every now and then when people like actually do roll a one in this.
Try to reach for another wild shape, and they're pushing themselves too far, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, D&D exists as a game first and foremost.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the way that everyone interacts with it is that this is a game.
There are rules.
Right, but when you're trying to make a movie about it, it's tough because the movie does not want to be this is a movie based on a game. The movie is this is a
fantasy story.
This is a fantasy story in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
And we're not.
And our reference material just happens to be books from a game.
And any reference to like existing rules within the game is done as an Easter egg, not because it makes our like the canonical fantasy world more fun.
What if they applied that same, like the rules lawyers and what they wanted out of this movie? What if you applied that same approach to like the World of Warcraft movie?
I mean, that might have been a better movie because that movie sucks.
What level is Thrall at this particular point in time?
Yeah. Gul'dan, what are you doing? I'm on cooldown.
How big is our raid group to take on Gul'dan?
I think you could have a lot of those things make sense and be interesting rules because they are designed in a way to create interesting problems. That is the purpose of the rule set in D&D. It is to like let your people be creative, but also to give them obstacles to overcome. And the issue comes when you get bogged down in the specifics of those rules of like, I have to wait 3 minutes until I can do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like if you try to make that work within the story, you could do that. That would just require creativity and a certain amount of storytelling acumen. And they don't have any of that. So they just threw a whole bunch of shit at the wall and hoped it stuck.
It didn't feel as bad as a whole bunch of shit against the wall. Yeah. It felt like, hey, again,
it didn't feel disjointed.
A couple of potatoes thrown at the wall.
I actually liked her
potato
specialization. No, her specialization in
improvised weapon.
I've always thought about improvised weapon, but I've never wanted to invest in it because what if I find like the gods or anything like? I guess I can throw this.
I
and
do more damage with rocks.
What you do is you just like strap a chair table leg to it, and then it's improvised.
That's true.
I liked the action a lot in this movie. It's a lot of fun.
Especially with the barbarian. It was really satisfying.
And I was impressed because I've seen Michelle Rodriguez in a bunch of other stuff.
She seemed like she got jacked for this movie.
Especially in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
And
Avatar.
And she's another actress where, similar to Justice Smith, I just don't like the way that she acts. But I think that the way that she acts particularly lends itself to the feeling
they
of a
around
barbarian.
Her, like Drax.
And I really enjoyed the action in this movie, especially with her, because unlike a lot of other action movies, it was easy to track what was happening in the scene. The choreography was a lot of fun. You could see what was happening. It wasn't like the
cutaway,
super fast cuts all the time. And they did that with both the choreographed, like, just all-out brawls that she does, and she has a few of them, but they continued that with, like, the magic duels that happened. And,
right.
And a number of the different fights, regardless of what kind they were, I enjoyed being able to, like, you have, it's easier to understand what's going on when you actually have some choreography and pull the camera out so you can see what's happening.
I agree with all of that. My issue with her fight scenes in particular, because I think they're good, they're well choreographed, all that. It's just that it is her fighting a whole bunch of minions, and you know every single time, okay, this is going to go completely normal. She's going to get out fine. Yeah. It's not going to be an issue. And I enjoy the, like, physicality of what she's doing. She's doing a very good job with the stunt work and the choreography and all that. But story wise, they don't do anything interesting with it, and I wish that they would, like, have her get built up as this, like, super powerful, like, win button. Like, whenever she gets in a fight, she just, you know, she's going to win. And then have that topped off by she either fights, like, some wizard who's got powers that she can't just punch her way through, or she fights an even bigger barbarian or something. Just
isn't,
like,
the wizard thing exactly what happens at the end?
I don't mean, like, the final boss. I mean, like, you need to, like, build it up to something specific instead of, like, the entire party.
She's bad against magic users?
Or just, like, yeah, something like that would work, and then that way you've got some tension when she finally does come up against a magic user, or just something where it's not, okay, this is the big bad of the final scene. We're going to have them all fight her.
Well, and I don't know, because I feel like it'd be easy to go down that route of, like, oh, she punches her way out of everything, but then when she comes up against this magic user, she's like, she's got issues and she doesn't understand why or something. And I know this isn't exactly what you said, but I feel like it'd be easy to paint her as, like, the stupid barbarian, because we've all heard of that character or played with that character.
There's a little bit of that.
There is a little bit, but not a lot.
Just like a sprinkle.
But I like that she's not an idiot
throughout the
movie.
I don't want that. I mean, to be fair, even if the thing I said was kind of predictable, movie's already really fucking predictable, so that's not making it worse in that way.
I think they could have enhanced her already good action scenes if they had added some of that core material flavor. Like, I want to see a moment where I know, okay, what's happening right here is she rage. Just entered into a rage.
Yeah.
And, like, afterwards, when everything is said and done and she's crushed all the skulls, suddenly she's fucking exhausted.
Wow. Yeah. No, she did. She is straight up a barbarian and never rages in this movie.
She might not be a barbarian. Rage, she might be a brawler.
I mean, she doesn't, like, she does not in
There's
any...
There's no scene where her tattoos start glowing and her, like, veins start popping.
I don't get that she is any more angry in any of her fight scenes than in any of her other fight scenes.
Oh, Letty.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just, like, it would not have taken much. I think 2 seconds of film time just to give me that little nod that, like, hey, wink, this is what's happening right here.
Right. Have someone step on a potato she was about to eat.
No, I want her to verbally say, and I go into rage.
I would like to rage.
And I'm raging now.
I am raging now. Okay, we've been talking for a while, but there's one character we haven't talked about, and I want to, because 3 of the people at this table really enjoyed the character, and 1 person at the table got really salty and butthurt about it, Rick. I really enjoyed the paladin.
What didn't you like about the paladin?
I just... Okay, I know the whole thing is that, like, paladins, they're no fun, and they're just, like, straight up lawful, stupid, good, and all that, and it just...
That is factually accurate.
They played him that way very well, and you can play a paladin in a different way, and it'd be fun.
Sure.
And, I mean, I get that they are playing a lot of these tropes very straight, and that is the trope of the paladin. I just don't know why this guy's fucking here. He's here in the middle of the movie.
He is the DM self-insert to, like, I'm beggaring everything than you guys, and you're not capable of doing this part of
the quest. I fucking guess, but that's not a good thing in D&D games. Like, no one likes that in games themselves.
Yeah, but you will recognize the reference showing up.
It's not even, I don't think it's even that reference.
Especially when they're not a healing cleric.
It's, I don't even feel like that's the reference. I feel like this is, I mean, maybe it is, but that's a bad idea to put in your movie because it's a bad storytelling move.
They probably just wanted to check another box for, hey, we have one of these in here too.
I guess, but, like, have him be a part of the party. Don't have him in literally 2 scenes and then just straight up walk out of the movie.
You say 2 scenes, but it was, I mean, he was there for, like,
the entirety of the second act.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a solid act.
Yeah, he's there, he solves a whole bunch of problems for the party, and then he just leaves. That's really bad storytelling.
Despite the fact
their
that they
quest to solve.
They make it
except
sound,
it's not, because he just did all the work for them.
There's a wall of force here. It's only you guys. Yeah. Yeah.
And he also has a vested interest in the conflict that's happening.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. He has the most vested interest in the conflict. Like, I don't understand.
He is and there then, to give a quest, because how many games or D&D games would, like, be solved if the guys giving us the quest just came with us and did the quest?
And he's just like, no, I am an NPC and cannot participate.
This guy's clearly like level 8 when we're level 1, but he's making us do this job.
If the movie came out and said like specifically that's what they were doing, you could make a funny joke of it. But because they don't, and they don't like make any references to a world outside of this world that where people are playing D&D, and this is the GM's self-insert character, that joke doesn't work. It's not even a joke that's actually in the movie. You just have to assume that, and it doesn't work for anyone who doesn't know D&D. It's bad. It's real bad.
But I don't care because he's fun. The interaction he has with the other characters is fun. Yeah. And I like how Chris Pine is like constantly getting annoyed with him. And it's that would be annoying. And it's funny.
I'm just in Chris Pine's shoes. I am also annoyed with him. That's all there is to it.
But his backstory is just so tragic and noble.
Uh-huh.
His parents became, and he got the special tattoo. But he's the opposite of an undead. He's alive.
He saves them from Chubby Wubby Dragon.
Just make that movie. Just make the movie about him.
Absolutely not. Well, he would be
with
the
it
worst.
Being what
he
it is.
He is the worst.
He's not the worst. He's so fun.
He is great as a side character. He would be the worst as a main character.
It is a fun moment when they have their Duel of Fates moment, and it's him as the paladin. He activates his Holy Avenger, and he's going up against the guy who I think is supposed to be a Death Knight.
Maybe he's an assassin.
The glowing green sword.
I looked it up. He's an assassin.
Okay.
Like that's supposed to be what the class is.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
It's still a cool scene when they're fighting each other.
It's a scene where I have even less stakes attached because this guy isn't been a part of the movie for the first half, and he walks out of it a scene later. So like.
But action good.
It is a good action scene. It is a good fight scene. I will give it that. But
I'm
you
real
need
glad
more than
they
good
ding,
category.
He ding one shot that dragon. I was real pissed when that dragon got.
That's
like,
exactly what
I thought
was
happening.
He
doesn't need to be in this campaign if that just fucking happened.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Also, if
why is
he one shot
that,
it is a like canonical character in D&D.
It?
Yeah, it's
there's like
heard,
a there's
I
like
the,
a,
I forget it, the name of it,
but
there's
the dragon
like,
or the paladin.
The dragon, chubby wubby dragon. There's an actual name.
They're
that
referencing
I don't know.
Something specific.
It is a specific character in D&D, and there's like all this stuff written about how
I
he
know
was
that.
Like,
I like him.
Oh, look, he as a young dragon, he was firing the Forge of Neverwinter, and then he got big and fat and got out of control.
It's fine to reference things like that. As like a, if you get it, it's fine. If you don't, it's fine. Like that kind of thing works. Like if they're just going to like have a beholder in the background and you can like point to it and be like, I know that, that's a beholder. If you want to do something specific with something like that, I think you need to like actually make it a part of the movie. Like actually build up to the fat dragon being in the movie instead of just, oh, there was a fat dragon in there for a minute and then it just was gone and we just didn't really deal with that. It's just, it was there for a scene.
I mean, it made the portion of the film in the Underdark more interesting.
Yeah.
I got what I needed out of it.
There were two dragons in this movie. There was and I looked it up. There was Thembershaw. That was
the
chubby
like,
dragon.
Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other one was, so there's the scene where the party is going and talking to all the corpses trying to find the location of
the helmet.
Of the magic dispelling helmet. And
like
in
disjunction helm or something.
Yeah, and in the flashbacks that those corpses give, they talk about, you know, oh, this was the battle that we all died at, and there's a black dragon spewing acid everywhere.
Yeah.
As it flies
was that acid?
Over.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And it was cool. And I like that they didn't just.
It wasn't just fire.
In what I'm assuming is going to be a series of D&D movies, because there's no way, like, nobody makes a new IP and hopes they only do one.
Right, yeah.
Hasbro wants money.
Yeah. Correct. I like that they didn't front load all the dragons into the first movie.
Yeah, that's fair. I do wonder, okay, so like those guys that are dead, they're all supposed to be Michelle Rodriguez's like ancestors and stuff, right? She's a barbarian. None of those guys look like barbarians. They just like normal medieval soldiers. And it annoyed me. I wanted them to just be like actual, like I wanted a tribe of barbarians to be fighting the dragons. That would have been more fun.
Well, that class wasn't introduced until 3.0.
Yeah, they were fighting
way back in
those were Red Box fighters.
Then they should have referencing things that were in 3.0.
They could no 1.0.
1.0. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten.
They could have been, but you wouldn't get it.
I'd have
did you recognize
Derek and ask him.
The other party while they were in the
I really expecting them to just get brutally murdered. Like that's the direction I was going. And I
which party?
There's a little group of little kids like looking wizards and stuff that they're from the D&D cartoon.
Oh, this
from,
is
like,
much later
80s.
When they're in the arena doing like the. the Hunger Games.
Yeah, how did you guys feel about the series of scenes in the arena?
There was fun stuff in there, but
I
want to
know
felt,
how anyone
yeah.
other than the people up in the orb saw what was going on in the maze. Did they not just see like the walls of the maze? Like, oh, sure, I bet that displacer beast is giving the them
magic.
What for?
I think it's magic. I also think it's like going to a televised or a professional sporting event where, like, if you're not in the right seats, you get like a third of the game.
Yeah,
and otherwise, you're kind of just looking at the Jumbotron trying to see what's going on.
I
appreciated
Jumbotron.
That. It felt like this was them creating a set where if you were playing this game right now, your characters would be inside of this labyrinth.
Yeah, no, I think it is intended
like
to look
like... This is a tabletop
like,
set, essentially.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. I think that's what they were going for with like the squares and all that on the floor and the way that it's set up as a maze and all that and the like treasure chests that are in the maze to like pick up and grab items.
I agree. I think that... The maze scene at the end. So the heroes are back in Neverwinter, and they've gone to the or they've been captured, and they've been put into the arena to try and save their own lives. Even though everybody knows nobody makes it through these games, you all die, right? And so they've got to get creative, and it feels kind of rushed because it is like a giant maze Hunger Games arena thing with a bunch of classic D&D. Like there's a mimic in there. There's a displacer beast. There's
I can't believe there wasn't a Minotaur.
Gelatinous cube. And so it's like some of these like real classic D&D monsters.
Yeah.
And I feel like there would have been more potential for a lot more fun stuff there. And it's not that the stuff we got was bad. It just felt rushed. I liked the creative way they got out of the situation where they all jump into a gelatinous cube as it descends like back into the underground area of the arena.
I was wondering if that was like a rules lawyer thing, like if you could actually shrink yourself with wild shape in that and you would get like an area that's not all acidic, or if that's just bullshit.
If your DM is cool,
if your DM is a good DM, he'd let you do it. Also, gelatinous cubes are not like insta-death. It's you take X amount of damage over time, and it just happens to be usually like a shit ton of damage, and so you don't last long.
And you're also suffocating.
But that was one of those situations that felt like we're kind of fucked. Well, let's make this weird gamble, and the DM thinks it's cool, and so he lets us pull, and he fudges some rolls back there, so we actually all live in the gelatinous cube. Right? Like, it felt like that kind of fun scenario that would happen at the table, but overall, it went too fast. I'm just gonna start talking about my final thoughts. I thought that the movie was fun. Mm-hmm. We've kind of spent the whole spoiler portion shitting on different aspects of it, which I think is fair because there's some bad stuff or not.
There's a lot to shit on
here that could have been a lot better.
There's a lot of stuff that could have been better.
But overall, like, it's by far the best D&D movie out there.
I will agree with that.
And I like it as potential for future D&D movies to come out and be better, and us have like a fun fantasy setting finally.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I liked a lot of the stuff that was in it. My favorite part of the movie was the Paladin, just because whatever you might say about his role as a character in the overall story, the scenes that he were in were fun scenes.
He was a very necessary, like, straight man to all of their, like, sarcastic boys.
Yes, and it felt fun and refreshing, and I liked him a lot. My least favorite part was going to be what you said at the beginning of, like, oh, the cast coming out and thanking us for being heroes for stopping by the movie. But you yoinked that, and so I can't make that joke anymore. So my new least favorite part is going to be that overall the writing is pretty predictable and just kind of mid in a lot of places. And some of the acting is pretty mid as well. Yeah. So it could have been a lot better. There's a lot more potential here. I hope they do better in the future. So I'm going to give it I still had a good time. I'll give it 3.5 owlbears out of 5.
That half is pretty nice.
Yeah. Rick?
My favorite thing about this movie is just visually, it's excellent. Hardly any like special effects that like even like you have to look for stuff that is flawed in it, and that's so different from what I'm used to with like
the short people looked really bad to me.
They did look weird.
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how. Like, we didn't like whoever figured out how to make hobbits look riding all the Lord of the Rings movies 20 years ago didn't bring
here's
that
what it
forward.
Is. That's really fucking hard. You have to do a lot of stuff with like trick photography and like trick force settings and force perspective to make all that work. That's why it's not done that way. But
you know what the little people in this movie reminded me of? It reminded me of when they had to digitally shrink Chris Evans to be pre super soldier serum Captain America.
Yeah, but not as good.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like visually for the most part, I really love the look of this film. It is what I imagine when I imagine a D&D setting. Like just classic, you know, crazy fantasy. Mm-hmm. There's silly shit everywhere, there's monsters everywhere, there's magic around every corner. All of that is great, and I love that. I just wish it was in a better fucking movie. this movie, my least favorite part about this movie is it's not necessarily the actors or any particular character or anything like that. It's just that it's a fucking mess. Like nothing about this movie feels like it comes together for me. The characters don't feel like they are a D&D group. They don't feel like they have any camaraderie to me. I don't really feel any sense of cohesion in the story. It's just one weird thing after another, after another, and after another, and not in a good way where that's like intentional. It feels like they just threw a whole bunch of shit at the script and came away with this.
That still sounds harsh to me because when you describe it as a mess, I get some, like, to me, this is a flat soda. This isn't someone who's like spilled the soda on the floor.
Yeah.
See, to me,
you can still
this
drink it.
Is the thing that I, to bring it back to D&D, this feels like a DM that doesn't really know what story he wants to tell. And so he's just jumping from thing to thing and hoping that nobody notices in the meantime.
I'll take that over railroading any day.
I mean, fair. But, it doesn't come together in the way that I want it to. It doesn't tell a story the way that it needs to make this really successful. And the potential is there. Like, you have really great actors that I've loved in a lot of stuff. And you have all the pieces you need. You just need someone better to put them together.
Okay.
Overall, though, I think it's a pretty decent movie.
Overall, pretty all right.
I'm going to squeeze out a fat dump of this movie and then wipe it off.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, the stuff that I really care about is not here.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that there's not talent and good things in the movie. So, overall, I'm... it's not good enough to get a 3, but...
Oh, come on.
I want to give it a 3, but it's just not there. It's just not there for me. I'm going to give this 2.5 super awkward hand pats on the shoulder instead of actual friendship.
Get out of here. Brian, what'd you think?
So you all know my actual least favorite thing, but here's another thing that really grinds my gears during that I didn't get at all. Like, what... When their little plan to, like, stop the evil thing, the evil cloud of death, was make the people leave.
Right.
Why were they allowed to just leave? Right. Like,
emptied that stadium in 30 seconds.
Yeah, there is a giant doom monster coming out of the sky.
Why were none of them screaming? They're like, yeah!
Wait, money? Let's leave for money!
No. See, look, when the red mist... I just choked on my own spit. When the red mist comes down and like it's about to turn everybody into evil zomboid, whatever the fucks, they just think it's like the halftime show.
Yes, but they need to sell that to me.
Prince is about to come up on the stage out of the middle of it.
I need a reason for them why they wouldn't run out and why the evil red mage wouldn't have her underlings just like, no, lock the gates. Why don't we have the gates
locked? Yeah, exactly.
It's been 300 years I've worked for this.
Exactly.
So that
maybe the guards at the gates were like, we're guarding these gates, but there's also like... $4 billion in gold coins over there, so I'm kind of going to not guard these gates.
Not the regular guards, her undead special boys that are here for the same reason she is.
The dragon
I'm here to summon the Dark Lord, but there's like $4 billion in gold coins over there.
are those bracers plus 3? what that's worth on the market? So after seeing that, like that really irked me. Other than that, I can like hand wave most things as like rule of fun and like...
Yeah.
I don't know how that fucking sorcerer is casting so many things within a 6-second window, but I guess it's just fucking... That's wild magic and mega magic rods or what. I don't know.
Sure.
And my third least favorite thing is that the MacGuffin disappeared for no reason. Like, don't introduce him...
Oh, the hat?
Yeah, the helmet. Don't introduce it if it's just like, and now, like, have it turn to dust if he can't wear it anymore.
Sure.
Favorite part is how pretty it is. Because you never get like these set designs being all pretty and the costumes pretty, and it's just pretty.
It really is
pretty.
This is a movie that would look excellent on an OLED TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or in theaters where it's meant to be because you're the hero.
You're the hero,
yeah.
Pay me more jewelry. But overall, that I mean, everyone knows what this is mid. Anyone who doesn't think it's mid is
mid.
No, I actually don't have anything against anyone who watches this movie because I want this to get more money and maybe they'll get better writing next
sure.
time.
Yeah.
But I don't
if it
like
gives them
mid.
Lots of money, then they're going to know they don't have to hire expensive writers.
Well, that's how Michael Bay is. But I feel like when other people get backlash, they're like, maybe we should do something. A lot of people kind of care a little bit, like fucking
sure.
The Mandalorian or something would be like, oh, people didn't like this. We're not going to do this anymore.
Right, right, right.
3 out of 5 poorly used MacGuffins.
All right.
I honestly enjoyed this movie more than I thought I... Well...
I wish you were here for the first one.
The more I think about it, the way that people talked about it, my expectations were higher than they would typically be.
Mm-hmm.
But based off of what I knew about it that wasn't from D&D people, I wasn't that expectant. And so I was simultaneously pleased and disappointed by this film. What I liked about it was that I felt like there were enough things that were reminiscent of the experience of playing D&D that as a D&D player, I was thrilled by that. At the same time, it is a safe movie.
Like and, when you get a hand job on a date. This is, like you're pleased, but I mean, I can give myself a
you know,
hand
that's,
job.
That's what I was trying to Brian. Say. And Brian, you just took the
wordsmith.
Words out of my mouth.
I've always known I'm a wordsmith.
When they're going all hither and thither.
Yeah.
And yawn.
We've already talked about how the sorcerer is really a frustrating character. I think what I'll say that my least favorite is how the scheme of the Red Wizards catches our protagonist completely by surprise. This isn't the kind of climax where it's like, oh, there's this thing that's been we've been building towards and their intent the whole time has been trying to thwart it, but they're ultimately unsuccessful and we have this big climax where they have to, instead of preventing it from happening, they have to deal with it happening in front of them and overcome this challenge.
Yeah, I thought
they could have very easily just been like, huh, that's happening, and sailed away
yeah,
into
that's
the sunset.
100% what I thought their plan
his
was.
Harper's Bible promise.
I don't
promise
give a fuck about the Harper's Bible
person.
Promise.
No, he made a promise that he would give the gold to them. I thought he was just going to be like, gold gone, I'm out.
Yeah.
So, with all that being said, it's mid, it has redeeming qualities, but by no means is this as good of a film as it could have been.
Sure.
So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 sharpened gourds.
That's fair. Another scene that we didn't talk about that I really enjoyed was the portal gun plan that they had to get into the vault. I like that a lot.
It does feel like the overcomplicated plans that your PCs will absolutely come up with every single time.
That are ultimately thwarted by a shitty turn of luck.
Yeah.
It did, and it was also the kind of fun shenanigans that I want. And there were plenty of fun shenanigans in other scenes as well, but it was like that perfect level where it's like, oh, I like it.
But why was the guard on... The guards who are riding the horse behind the carriage, they see that there is what looks like a cylinder with somebody crawling out of it underneath the fucking carriage.
No, they didn't see it because they looked over and saw what looked like Michelle Rodriguez fucking
right
dude in the woods.
They look right at the shenanigans underneath the carriage, and then they pivot over and see that, oh, the person crawling out of the cylinder is obviously also crawling into it over there, and they're just like, fuck it.
They rolled
I don't get paid enough for this shit.
Low perception. Low perception roll.
I suppose. If you want to listen to more of our thoughts on D&D, especially the very first D&D movie, you can find that on our Patreon, and we're going to have a little teaser up on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and OpinionatedPodcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. If you want to come hang out with us, check out our Discord. The link to that is in the description as well as on our Twitter bio. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for watching.